ABC Listen.
A quick warning, Curly Crew. This episode includes some old fairy tales, which are pretty gross and dark and scary sometimes. So, if you're not in the mood for that, it might be worth listening to a different episode instead. Now, let it begin!
Camp Short and Curly is so much fun, isn't it?
So much fun.
And I love being one of the camp counsellors. A weekend away, staying in cabins, chatting ethics in between obstacle courses and giant swings and flying foxes. Hey, did you guys like my sock puppet routine at the talent show last night?
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Well, I try to have a point of difference from other sock puppeteers, and mine is that I don't use socks. I use a big pair of tights and get my whole body completely inside them and writhe around on the ground like a snake.
Don't worry, Carl. We remember.
The image will be burnt in our brains forever.
They loved it. You're welcome, kids.
Gather round, campers. It's time for my triennial Amazing Cool Book Club, where I read an amazing cool book by the roaring fire.
Oh, Eleanor, save me that seat near the marshmallows.
I've got a cozy blanket. Oh, I love stories.
Tonight, I will be reading a fairy tale you all know and love, called The Little Mermaid.
I love The Little Mermaid.
It's a classic.
There once was a little mermaid who lived in an underwater kingdom with her father, the king of the sea, and her sisters. The little mermaid had the head and torso of a human, but instead of legs, she had the tail of a fish. She was always fascinated by the world above and the human beings who lived on land.
I remember that from the movie.
When the little mermaid turned 15, she was allowed to swim up to the surface of the water and observe the humans. It was there that she spotted a handsome prince and fell in love with him from afar.
Prince Eric.
The little mermaid so desperately wanted to live on land with the prince that she went to visit an evil sea witch. The sea witch gave her a potion, which she said would give her human legs. But in exchange, the little mermaid would agree to lose her voice. The sea witch warned her that drinking the potion would really hurt. It would make her feel as though she was being stabbed with a sword. And it wouldn't end there, the witch warned. The little mermaid would forever feel like she was walking on sharp knives and her feet would always bleed.
Wait, what?
I'm not finished. The little mermaid swam to shore and drank the potion, where the horrible pain made her pass out. Though the prince found her and thought she was very beautiful, he decided to marry a princess from his own kingdom instead.
I don't remember that part.
The little mermaid was heartbroken, but then her sisters emerged from the sea and told her that if she killed the prince, she would turn back into a mermaid. All she had to do was stab him to death.
What? No!
Shh, this is the big finish. But the little mermaid couldn't do it. Instead, she threw herself off a ship into the ocean. She died and her body dissolved into sea foam. The end.
Molly, that was terrible.
I hate your story.
That was really bad.
What was wrong with my fairy tale?
Fairy tale? That wasn't a fairy tale. That was the creepiest, weirdest, yuckiest story I've ever heard.
But it's The Little Mermaid. It's a classic. Right, Eleanor? Eleanor?
I'm actually just going to hide out in this tree for a little bit.
Oh, no. I've scared Eleanor and all the campers. Okay, today on Short and Curly, why are some fairy tales so scary?
And what's the point of them anyway?
Hello, and today you're listening to
Short. You're listening to Short and Curly.
And Curly.
Yay!
Short and Curly!
Curly, 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 curly.
Short.
short and curly.
Momo, look, I know what went wrong. You were reading the original version of The Little Mermaid, which was written all the way back in 1837 by Hans Christian Andersen.
Yeah, I thought it would be vintage chic.
More like morbidly tragique. But okay, maybe we need a thinking question here.
Remember, you can pause the show here to reflect on this one or even talk about it with the people around you.
So, most of us have grown up with fairy tales.
Yeah, lots of different cultures have them, and we've been telling the same stories to children for hundreds of years.
So our question is, why do you think fairy tales exist?
Hit pause now.
And now let's see what our curly campers think.
I'm pretty much scarred for life by Molly's horrific fairy tale.
No, I mean, what do you think about why we tell each other fairy tales? Camper Brains Trust, assemble! Why do you think fairy tales exist?
A lot of the fairy tales that we hear today have like a particular meaning, like a lesson.
Most stories will usually have a specific moral, and then they pass that down to future generations.
We've actually learned from what in these stories, and I think why they've lasted so long is because they're so important to our world.
I also think that the morals are important because they tell us like what not to do. Like something always bad happens whenever you like walk through the forest alone or like rob people.
Most morals have already been told from previous stories and they don't need to retell it in a new story.
The fairy tales we have are like just really good and we don't need new ones because there might be too many to remember and stuff. It's like we don't need new ones when we already have perfectly good ones.
So I think by making more, it could ruin like the rareness maybe of these stories and also, yeah, like the beauty of them.
It might be okay if we do get some new ones because the old ones are getting a bit repetitive, but they're still pretty interesting.
Okay, everyone, settle down. I'm going to read you all a different story from a different book. And I am really so sorry for scaring all of you. Eleanor, you want to come out of that tree?
Nope.
Fair.
Okay, Momo. Campers, listen up.
This one is from a fun little German storybook called Der Struwwelpeter by Heinrich Hoffmann. It's the story of Little Sucker Thumb.
Sounds kind of cute, I guess.
Okay, take it away, Momo.
The story of Little Sucker Thumb. One day, a mother left her son, Conrad, alone at home and warned him not to suck his thumb. But when she left, Conrad did just that. Suck, suck, suck.
Oh, Conrad.
The door flew open and in came a tailor with red leggings and a giant pair of scissors. And he cut off Conrad's thumbs. Conrad's mum came home and shook her head. That's what the naughty little boy gets for sucking his thumb. The end.
What are these stories?
This is the worst camp ever.
Momo, why are you doing this to us?
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
Well, you did. You really did. Okay, kids, let's all settle down.
I can't. The red-legged man is going to cut my precious thumbs off.
I won't sleep tonight.
Eleanor, can you come down from that tree and help everyone chill out?
If it's all the same to you, I'll just try to help from up here. Kids, relax. Do some deep breathing with me. And in. And out. Oh, fine. I'll come down. But if I see even one single creepy mermaid or one man holding a pair of scissors, I am back up in this tree even higher. Okay, everyone.
Calm down!
Okay, we're calm now.
Sorry, camp counselors.
And I'm sorry for scaring everyone, including you, Eleanor.
Oh, I'm not scared. I am terrified.
Eleanor, how could anyone think these fairy tales are appropriate for kids? They're not even fun. They're just horrific.
Well, people used to have pretty different ideas about what was okay for kids. Molly's stories are old folk tales that were written down in the 17th and 18th centuries. And back then, childhood was really different. You probably had 7 to 10 siblings. Loads of them would get sick and die before they grew up. Most kids didn't go to school. Lots of them worked hard jobs. They would work all day, just like adults.
Yikes.
Yeah, yikes. So kids those days had bigger problems than scary stories. Even the concept of a child wasn't the same. They were kind of seen as mini adults, and kids weren't really treated differently. In fact, for a couple of hundred years, kids didn't even celebrate their birthdays.
No birthdays? Oh, that's even more horrible than Molly's story.
So part of why people told kids these horrible stories is we used to think very differently about what it meant to be a child. And now, if you'll excuse me, I have got the spooks again and I am going back up my tree to hide.
Momo, I have an idea. I went to the bookstore the other day and bought a bunch of really, actually fun books written in this actual century.
Okay, brag.
They're in my cabin, so how about I go grab one and you can read that to the campers instead?
Oh, great idea. Please get one with lots of jokes and maybe even some pictures. These young campers are really starting to turn on me.
Starting to turn on you?
Oh, be nice. I'm trying.
Okay, I'll be back in a jiffy.
Thank you, Carl, but make it quick. My amazing cool book club needs redemption!
Okay, hurrying through the woods. Quickly, Molly and the short and curly campers are waiting. I fell and got dirt and mud all over my pants. That's the 16th time in 2 days. Okay, but that's all right. I'll just change back at the cabin. Back at the cabin. All my pants are covered in mud and dirt for some reason. Okay, I guess I could wear the tights from my sock puppet routine. Feels kind of weird using them not for the purpose of art, but okay, just do it, Carl. Now, to find a book for our lovely campers. This looks like the perfect book. It's called Fun Happy Tales Where Nothing Bad Happens, now with jokes and pictures. I knew I bought that one for a reason. I hate it when they wrap books in plastic, so bad for the environment. Just gonna grab some scissors to get it out of this plastic. Okay, done. Now, quickly, Carl, back to the campfire. Molly's amazing cool book club needs redemption.
What was that?
It's okay. It was just an owl.
I'm really freaked out. Can we go back to our cabins?
And unceremoniously end Molly's amazing cool book club early? Wait! That must be Carl coming back with the new book. Please, just give me one more chance.
Okay.
I'm back.
Ah!
Whoa, what?
Run for your lives. It's the tailor from the story.
He's gonna get our thumbs. Come up the tree with me where it's safe. Everyone calm down. Stop running away. Kids.
What is going on?
Carl, you're wearing red leggings, like the tailor from the story.
What? Oh, well, these are just my tights from the puppet show. All my other pants are dirty. I didn't even think about them being red.
And you're holding a giant pair of scissors.
Oh, no. I used them to unwrap the book. I must have been in such a rush that I just brought the scissors back instead of the book.
It doesn't matter why. The point is, everyone thinks you're the tailor and you're going to cut their thumbs off.
Oh, no. I'm a monster.
Carl, that is so unhelpful. Hang on. Everyone, it's okay. You're totally safe. There's no creepy tailor here. It's just Carl.
Yeah, it's just me. Sorry. Tis moi.
Oh. Phew. But, Carl, why are you dressed like that?
Why am I dressed? Look, I think the bigger question here is why did Molly read that story out in the first place?
Hey, I think the even bigger question here is why, oh why, did Heinrich Hoffmann feel the need to write this horrible story? Or actually any of these? Look, get a load of this one.
This story's about a boy who goes outside during a storm and gets blown away. Or how about this one, about a girl who plays with matches, then lights herself on fire. Oh, look at this. He also wrote a story about a boy who refused to eat his soup, so he gets too skinny and dies.
Molly, for the love of Plato, stop!
I don't get it. Even if people in the olden days didn't treat kids like, you know, kids, why would anyone feel compelled to write stories like this?
Well, according to the About the Author section in Der Struwwelpeter, Heinrich Hoffmann wrote these stories to teach children to be well-behaved.
Huh?
Oh, he was using his stories as warnings.
Wait, what?
Well, fear can be a very effective tool for getting people to remember stuff. So when you need to teach people really important lessons, sometimes we use fear to do it. Like, imagine if your little sister loved to crawl near the edges of big, tall cliffs.
Oh no, we've all got one of them in the family.
But she isn't old enough yet to understand why you shouldn't. Well, you might decide to scare her into listening. Like, maybe you tell her a witch will come and get her if she goes near the edge.
Okay, I see. Scare kids into following the rules. Crafty play.
Exactly. I guess that's what our spooky Herr Hoffmann was up to. And you know what? I have to admit, scary stories are pretty memorable. Like that story about the girl who catches fire. I would remember that when I thought about playing with matches. All those stories actually give really practical warnings.
And I guess the weirdness of the stories helps those safety messages stick.
Yeah, and now that I think about it, lots of the really famous fairy tales are about frightening you into learning big moral lessons too. Like how to be a good person. In Cinderella, for example, the kind and patient person wins the prince. Or in The Boy Who Cried Wolf, the liar gets eaten alive.
Isn't that kind of dodgy? Making up fake scary stories so kids will learn important lessons?
It depends on how important it is that you learn that lesson. Like if it's a choice between letting your sister play on the edge of a cliff or telling her that a witch will come and get her, maybe it's okay. I guess the people who wrote these ghoulish fairy stories thought the lessons were so important, it was okay to frighten kids into learning them.
I still don't know.
Yeah, me neither. Hey, Camper Brainstrust, put down your toasted marshmallows for a moment. We need your thoughts on this one.
Scaring kids with fairy tales so they'll learn important lessons. Yay or nay?
In some cases, yes, because, like, you want to keep them safe, right? Like, the tiny children, they're, like, the future.
I think that scaring them is, like, the only way to do it. I have no idea. I can't think of another way that you can stop them from, like, burning their hands off or going into strangers' houses.
I think absolutely you could definitely scare the children. They are maturing and they need to learn what is out there, and if by telling them a scary story really scares them off, then you gotta do what you gotta do.
It's a bit mixed because you do want to scare the kids into not doing it, but you might also feel bad that you scared this hopeless little 3-year-old into never opening a door again.
It's good to be scared, right? Because if you're not scared, then you can't be brave. If you don't scare kids, they won't learn how to be brave.
I think some kids actually enjoy being scared. They don't like hear a good story and share it with all their friends and get the joy of scaring all their friends.
It's actually kind of fun to be scared.
The children might have fun being scared, but the person telling the story might also have fun scaring the child.
Thanks, campers.
And what about you listening? Time for a thinking question. Is it okay to scare children so they'll learn important lessons?
Hit pause now.
Okay, now, Momo, can you please just read us a nice, normal fairy tale?
Well, given you didn't even bring a book back from the cabin, all we have left are these fairy tales. Geez, they are all really weird.
Okay, so what are you saying?
I'm saying that Short and Curly needs to do an entire season on fairy tales. These stories really shape our childhoods, so we can examine the weird and wacky ideas behind them.
And all the philosophical and ethical ideas they present?
Exactly. Short and Curly presents a series on fairy tales.
Sure. But I meant, what are you saying right now? What story are you going to tell us tonight at the campfire?
Oh, right. Oh, hey, Carl, why don't we just make one up?
I love it. Okay, yeah, let's make up the first not weird, non-scary fairy tale.
Once upon a time, there was a magical place called Camp Short and Curly.
It was run by two little elves, Carlo and Molo.
And there was a resident magical ethics elf named Eleonoro, too.
One day, a swarm of gnomes visited the camp, calling themselves the Brains O'Trusto. Their names were Mia, Miller, Dimitri, and Archie, and they lived in the faraway kingdom of Summerhill Public School in Sydney.
Then two little pixies came to visit and offer their voice acting skills to the camp. Their names were Riley and Baven.
But then came a pair of centaurs named Kyla Slaven and Candace Docker. They claimed to be producers from the clan of ABC Kids and Family.
Once everyone was all together, they sat around a magical campfire and roasted magical marshmallows.
The end.
That was the worst story ever.
Yeah, that was so boring.
And nothing happened. It was just people coming to a camp. That's not even good story writing.
Eleanor, what the heck?
You're meant to be on our side. Camp counselors stick together.
Sorry, but that was cringe. I'm staying in the tree.
Oh.
This is an ABC Kids podcast. For more awesome stories or to learn something new, go to the Kids tab of the ABC Listen app.